If you have your Bibles with you, we're going to turn to Luke 24, Luke chapter 24, and we're going to read from verse 13. And I want us to think a little bit this morning about that journey of the two disciples from Jerusalem on the road to Emmaus. And we're going to read that account in Luke chapter 24 and commencing to read from verse 13. Please follow in whatever version you have with you this morning. I'm reading from the New King James, so please follow as we read the word together. Luke 24, and commencing to read from verse 13. Now behold, two of them were travelling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this, that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" So they said to him the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had not also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?" So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen, indeed, and has appeared to Simon." And they told about the things that had happened on the road, and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Amen. And we trust the reading of God's word will speak into our hearts. Let us bow for a short prayer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that your word is truth, it is living, and it is powerful. And Father, we thank you that through your word, you speak into our hearts. And as we've read together from your word this morning, Lord, speak. Lord, as we meditate upon it in these next moments, speak to us, that we would know and understand the voice of Jesus that would affect our lives and help us to walk with you closer day by day. Hide me behind the cross of Calvary. Let the voice of Jesus be heard to both hearer and preacher alike. And Lord, help us to be willing to obey what you might say to us. For we ask all of these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. It's just a week since we've celebrated the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And as we've celebrated the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, what a day that has been, that up from the grave he arose, mighty to save. And because Jesus has risen from the dead, he is alive, and we can speak about it with confidence. Because how do we know that he is risen? And how do we know that he is alive? Because when he went home to be with his Father in heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit down to earth to live within those who have repented of their sin and invited the Savior to be their, invited Jesus to be their Savior. And at that point, when we are truly sorry, he sends the Holy Spirit to live within us. And the Bible speaks about this, and it makes it very, very clear, doesn't it? But I want us to think about this road on this road to Emmaus. And I wonder, as we think about this road to Emmaus and these two disciples walking home after the celebration of the Passover and all the events that had took place, Jesus being tried and arrested and tried, sentenced to death, crucified on the cross, and now he is risen. The ladies, when they went and on their way home, and he is not there. You can imagine the conversation on the road home, couldn't you? But I want us to think this morning for a moment or two about your conversations. I wonder, and I'm quite challenged about this of late, that as I sit under the preaching of God's word, we sing the closing hymn, we turn to the person next to us. What is our conversation? What is it? And I'm speaking to myself as I'm speaking to you this morning. It is so easy to think about, had you a nice day yesterday? It's a beautiful morning this morning. Or do we think, and should we be thinking, how has God spoken to you this morning? What has God spoken to you about? What changes have you to make? And you see, isn't that what it should be like, isn't it? That when we hear the word of God and God speaking to us, it should affect us. Maybe that might be the case of getting up and going to a quiet place to allow God to speak more into your life that would affect you for the week ahead. You see, as we come into the house of God to worship him, it is to affect us for the week ahead. Because others need to know that we have been in the presence of God. And that's why it's important, not just once a week, but daily, to spend time with God. Here these two, they were walking, they were traveling together. It was a distance of about 7 miles. Well, that's about an hour and three quarters walk if you walk a brisk walk. Probably took them longer with the conversation. When you're out for a stroll, you don't walk as far, do you? But you never stop. But when you're out for a bit of exercise, you walk briskly and you go further. These two, they were walking. They were talking. They were talking about all the things that had taken place. And although these disciples knew who Jesus was, they did not recognize him. Why? Because Jesus seeks us. He looks out for us. And maybe Jesus had planned it in a way that, yes, their eyes would be blinded for a while. And he would come and he would walk alongside them. And he would talk with them and really get to know what their understanding was. Maybe God didn't want them to recognize him straight away. Events had not happened as they expected them to. And that's quite the case with many of us, isn't it? And we plan some things. And you know, when I think about this, I think back to when Linda and I got married and we were expecting our first child, and then it was to be a happy time. But it was a testing time. It wasn't going to happen how we were expecting it to happen. But it happened in a way God had planned it. And sometimes that causes turmoil. Sometimes it causes heartache and upset. But it should bring us closer to God. Do you know, I can honestly say that? That when I think about Linda and I expecting our first child, yes, it wasn't the way we expected it. Did not expect to bring home a baby who is now heading for 20. Not as we expected, but as God expected. And through that whole situation and circumstance, and the joy of bringing up a disabled child hasn't been easy, but you know what? It has been a pleasure. It really has. I wonder, as you look back over your life and see how things have panned out, do you rejoice? Yes, there are things we can all do. We could have all done differently if we were to have another go. But has it been a pleasure? You see, these two disciples, they had little faith. They had little faith. They knew that Jesus had come. They thought he was going to turn everything around, that he was going to be the Savior, but yet he had died. But they didn't realize that he had risen again. They didn't realize that he was alive. He walked with them. Oh, they just thought he was somebody else just walking home and he would join them and for safety and security on the road home. But as he listened, he says, "What kind of conversation is this that you are having with one another as you walk and are sad?" He could see the sadness in their eyes. They said about the things of Jerusalem that happened and what things, and they explained everything. Then he says there in verse 25, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And what did he do? He took them back to the Old Testament. Maybe he took them back to the fall in Genesis, when sin entered the world and God promised that he would send someone into the world to be the Savior, who would come, who would suffer, who would die in our place, so that we could have eternal life with him in heaven. As we read there in Isaiah 53, "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of suffering who knew what sickness was. He was like one people turned away from. He was despised, and we did not value him." I wonder this morning, what are your real thoughts about Jesus, the crucified one? Isaiah 53 and verse 7 says, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, and like a sheep silent before his shearers, he did not open his mouth. I know I'm speaking to people that live in a country. Sometimes I say to the children, when teaching in the classroom, that sheep have to be led. They need a shepherd. You and I are like sheep. We need a leader. We need a shepherd. And that shepherd that will lead us in the right way, that will take us out to greener pasture, is the Lord Jesus. He is the one. He is the one that can help, that can take you through the difficult times in life. When I look back to the days of the months before John was born, there were days that I got on my knees to pray and seek God. You know what? It's all I could do was pour out my heart and say, God, step in. There are times that we all go through and we don't know how to pray. But we can ask God, step in, help. Maybe I'm speaking to someone here this morning and you're going through a time of difficulty that you don't know how to deal with it. You don't know how to handle it. You don't know how to talk to God about it. Say, God, step in. You know all about it. Help me through it. If you really believe that he can, he will. He will. Pray for your pastor. There are times that things will crop up and he'll have to face, and there'll be times and he'll go, I've no idea. Pray that God will come down in his wisdom and help him through it. And there are times like that. The other week, a girl asked me a question, and I thought, how am I going to answer that? How am I going to? I'm crying out to God, God help me to give an answer that is appropriate and that is God glorifying. Do you know what? Before you think you've answered, because God has come and helped you. Do you believe he can? You believe that he can? He probably took him back to Zechariah 12:10, where he says, then I will pour out a spirit of grace and prayer on those on the house of David and the residents of Jerusalem, and they will look at me, whom they pierced. They will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and weep bitterly for him as one weeps for a firstborn. Jesus the crucified took our agony so that we could be free. Friends, this morning, are you free in Christ? Are you free in him? You see, when we know and love the Lord Jesus as our Savior, the Bible says we have freedom in Jesus. That one day when he shall either call us home or return, that we will meet him as Savior and not as judge. Friends, this morning, I want you to ask this question honestly and answer it before God. How will you meet Jesus? How will you meet him? Will you meet him as a Savior? Or will you meet him as a judge? That was the point that brought me to realizing I needed a Savior. In order to meet him as your Savior, you need to repent of your sin. Ask for his forgiveness. Invite him into your heart as Lord and Savior of your life, so that you can go home to glory and live at peace before God. He seeks us. They didn't recognize him. Events happened as they didn't happen as they expected. They had little faith. But then what happened? They came to the end of the journey. Jesus gave the idea to them that I'm going further. But they took the opportunity. And I wonder, is there someone here this morning who is at that point in their lives that Jesus is giving the opportunity for you? He is here, but he's ready to go on. Are you going to let him go? Or are you going to say, stop, come in? See, these two on the road to Emmaus, they said, oh no, you can't go. You need to come in. You need to come in. You cannot go on your own. What did Jesus do? He came in. He sat with them. They sat around the table. They must have been hungry. They'd been walking for over 2 hours. Probably relieved to get home. But then it wasn't until the table had been set. Verse 30 of Luke 24, it says, now it came to pass as he sat at the table with them that he took bread. He gave thanks. He blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. That jogged their memory. They'd seen it happen before. And it was only at that point that they realized who was walking with them. Jesus of Nazareth. I wonder, when you come around the breaking of bread, the table, what do you think of? Do you think of what Jesus did upon the cross? Yes, we do. We need to. The blood that he shed for the forgiveness of sin. Yes, God said, do it in remembrance of me. But do you think about where Jesus said, do it until I come again? We don't only to remember what he did in the past, but we are to remember what he said, that I am coming again. Friends, this morning, what do you think of Jesus, the Christ child, who suffered, who died, who shed his blood for your forgiveness? Who is willing to give you eternal life with him in heaven? We all want heaven. The ticket is freedom in Jesus when we accept him as our Savior. Because that price is paid. It is a gift. Of lately, I've been thinking about gifts. I want to ask you a question this morning. When does a gift become yours? Is it when you receive it? What do you think? Do you think it becomes yours when you receive it? Yes? No, it doesn't. Interesting. Right? I've been thinking a lot about this. Because how many gifts have we received and taken home and put on a shelf and never touched them again? We've all done it. Am I right? That gift only becomes yours when you take it out of the wrappings, take it out of its box, and begin to use it. Interesting, isn't it? That's why I've been thinking a lot about it. Because there are some gifts we've been thinking. We bring them at home. I'll look at it later. Sometimes you move house and you realize, oh, I've never looked at it. It's true. You see, it's the same with Jesus. You know him. You know what he did on the cross. You know that he was buried, that he rose again, that he is alive. You can know all about it. But he simply hasn't become yours until you've said sorry and asked him to come in and allowed him to be a complete part of your life so that he can use you as he would want you to be used. You see where I mean? When does a gift become yours? Is Jesus yours this morning that you can say, I am his and he is mine? As the hymn writer put it.
One thing to know him. Know about him. But another thing to know him personally. He opened their eyes. And they were. And he revealed himself to them. It was only as they had fellowship with Jesus that he disclosed himself. It is not without significance that it is around the supper table that the disciples' eyes were opened and they see Jesus for who he really is. After the resurrection, many of the appearances of Jesus are associated with table fellowship. Why?
Interesting, it's around the table, isn't it? Because when you think of the disciples in the upper room, frightened, the windows and doors shut, Jesus appeared. He had something to eat. And he left. The second time it was in the upper room. But Thomas were there this time. Something to eat. And he left. Around the table. I wonder this morning, the next time you come around the breaking of bread table, I want you to think about this. That as we partake of it, that we not only remember what he did, but that he is coming. He moved to share. Jesus moved to share with them. And that very hour, yes, dark as it was, what did Jesus do? He left. He left. But what did the disciples do? They turned. Wow! Do you know what? Isn't that what it was like to those of you and myself when we first became a believer in Jesus, accepting him as our Savior? We didn't want to keep it to ourselves. We wanted to let everybody know. But as we get older, we get so politically correct. Watch in case I offend them. Watch in case I hurt them. Oh yes, there is a point in that. Let the scriptures do the conviction. But speak well of Jesus. and let him show their need of a Saviour. These two disciples, they got up. Do you know what? They didn't walk. They ran the 7 miles. What took them over 2 hours took them less than an hour. He is risen. They came to the disciples. He is risen. He is risen. We've seen him. He walked with us and we didn't know him until he came in and had something to eat. Do you know Jesus this morning? Have your eyes been opened to who he is and what he has done for you? Do you know that he walks with you and talks with you? Can you testify to his presence in your life? Do you have fellowship with him? Do you have fellowship with Jesus? And I'm not talking about coming together like this morning, because we have fellowship one with another with Jesus. But do you talk to him throughout the day? That's having fellowship with Jesus. Has your experience with him been so real and so moving, so life-changing that it has caused you to tell others about him? Can I leave you with this question this morning? What will you do with Jesus this morning? What will you do with him? You've come this morning, we've sang the hymns, we've prayed together, we've read from God's word. I've been challenged. Have you? But the question is, what will you do about the challenge? Now we have a responsibility, and we have to do something. Why? Because the Bible tells us that we have to go forth and tell. Tell of what Jesus the Christ child has done, so that others may come to know and love him as their Saviour. And as we think about this morning, our closing hymn says, "Low in the grave he lay, Jesus my Saviour, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Vainly they watched his bed, Jesus my Saviour. Vainly they sealed the dead, Jesus my Saviour. Death cannot keep his prey, Jesus my Saviour. He tore the bars away, Jesus my Saviour. Up from the grave he arose." Friends, this morning, Jesus wants to walk with you. He wants to come home with you. He wants to go to work with you. He wants you to rest in him as you sleep at night, so that you are ready to face whatever the world throws at you. As we sing this hymn, sing it as if we believe it, because he is alive.